federal head in Amity as the party braces itself for the 2016 elections. Nana's call comes after his landslide victory at the MPP Super Delegates Conference yesterday. In a victory message, the two-time presidential candidate said he was grateful to the other contestants and the party at large for their untiring support. The Institute for Democratic Governance, IDEC, has charged political parties to formulate realistic manifestos that would address the country's challenges. According to the executive director of the Institute, Dr. Emmanuela Kwete, political parties have over the years failed to come up with feasible manifestos as they lack clear-cut roadmaps. Dr. Kwete made a remark at a presentation on the proposed amendment of the 1992 Constitution at the Stakeholders Forum in Takoradi. Despite efforts to tackle teacher absenteeism in the country, Ghana is said to be in the lead in the sub-region. Deputy Minister in charge of secondary education, Alex Shremi, has described the situation as worrying, even though the percentage has reduced from 27 to 11. Mr. Shremi was speaking on our current affairs program, Talking Point. And the African Union has expressed worry over a military coup in Lesotho as South Africa asks troops to return to the barracks and respect the constitution.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news now into the Super Delegates Conference of the LPP ended yesterday with two tough led by Nana Akufo-Addo winning by a landslide. Nana swept 80.81% of the votes. Retinence peaceful at 11 designated polling stations across the country. The Super Delegates Conference was organized to trade out another flag by aspirants to 5. By the results, Dr. Kofi Kumaba-Kaiku and Stephen Asamabate have been eliminated for the race. The party will meet on October 18 to choose a flag bearer for the 2016 presidential election. Kwabena Jaapong is the general secretary of the NPP.
We would like to thank everyone who was connected with this special voting, especially the Electoral Commission, the security services, and on top of all, our gallant delegates. I think having been around the country, the conduct of this special voting has been very admirable, and I want to go through the results once again. Candidate number one, Kofi Kunadu Afreku, had 10 votes. Candidate number two, Stephen Asamoah-Gyan had 13 votes. Candidate number three, Francis Adeyemo, had 22 votes. Candidate number four, Ufi Osei Amia, had 16 votes. Candidate number five, Alan John Kojotra Martin, had 59 votes. Candidate number six, Anna Adodankwa Akufo-Addo, had 598 votes. Candidate number seven, Joe Blackie, had 22. And so, I'll give you the percentages in the ranking order. Nana Adodankwa Akufo-Addo had 80.81%. Alan Kwedotre Mati had 7.97%. Francis Adeyemo had 2.97%. Joe Gatti, 2.97%. Stephen Asamoah was in 1.75%. And Dr. Kofi Kunadu Afreku, 1.35%. So as per our constitution, the two who are out for the remainder of the contest are Dr. Kofi Kunadu Afreku and Stephen Asamoah-Gyan. So as our constitution determines for us, the five that are allowed to continue for the contest, the main contest, are Nana Adodankwa Akufo-Addo, Alan Kojotra Martin, Francis Adeyemo, Joe Gatti, and Kofi Osei Amia.
NPP's General Secretary Kwabena Jaapong.
Meanwhile, Nana Akufo-Addo has called for unity within the party and urged party faithful to focus on their common opponent, who they must beat convincingly in the 2016 elections. Delivering a victory speech after an overwhelming endorsement at yesterday's Super Delegates Conference, Nana said he is truly humbled and thanked the party for his continuous trust in him. Congratulating the other contestants, the two-time presidential candidate said he believes the other candidates will all work together to advance the cause of the NPP and, even more importantly, that of the nation.
emphasize my commitment to working for a united MPP, focused on a common opponent whom we must be convincing in the 2016 election. Our nation must be put back again on the path to prosperity. Even though the work ahead will be arduous, I am confident that together we will answer the call of the Ghanaian people to a new beginning, a new path, away from corruption, incompetence, and mismanagement. The youth and people of our country need jobs, good education, quality health care, decent housing, and an enhanced standard of living. Without running ahead of myself, I can say that an MPP government under my leadership will make these things a reality. Today, and together, we can rally the Ghanaian people to regain confidence in our future, to believe in the bright horizon and compelling prospects that await the Black Star of Africa, to be convinced that with purposeful leadership, we can claim our rightful position in the affairs of Africa and of the world. We cannot and will not fail the people of Ghana. I thank the Almighty God for his continued blessings on Ghana, the MPP, and myself.
That was the 2012 presidential candidate of the MPP, Nana Akufo-Addo.
Meanwhile, Booster Bellasson has described the victory of Nanaba as no surprise, but said the margin as huge. He, however, noted that Dr. Kofi Kunoda Preko's elimination comes as a surprise.
Maybe it was the level of victory of Nana Akufo-Addo. That has never been in doubt. But I think we need to bear in mind that this is voting by less than 780 people. So maybe the October one will give. Definitely not was bound to win, but the gap was rather huge. A surprise is Dr. Apeku being eliminated from the top five and the performance of Mr. Dynamo. So it tells you that the party structures, knowledge of party members, the figure of 800. Kamala was nearly 5,000 delegates. So that was a bit big. By the level of victory, that is a bit surprising, and that Apeku's elimination. The level of victory of Nana over Alan, one would have expected maybe a margin of maybe 20%, but this is a margin of over 72%. As I'm saying, this is both by 740 people. October will be 145,000. So we need to put that in context. Landslide on 740 votes. I think that if you consider the October election would be by 145,000. To be fair to the others, I think that for the basis being him getting 80% of 740 votes, I think that based on that, to be unfair to the other contestants not to have them. If, let's say, it was 100,000 or even half, 70,000, but 740 delegates vis-a-vis a potential 145,000 people voting. And moreover, too, they don't have a choice. It's in their constitution.
So what can you say about the chances of Nana Akufo-Addo in the October Congress?
Well, I think he'll win. Because, you see, the four others who are going with him will be sharing the anti-Akufo-Addo basket of vote. It's so simple. There are those who think that I should go again, give him a third chance. There are those who think that Nana, after two terms, cannot win the general election. And those who think that he cannot win, there are four of them who are splitting the anti-Nana Akufo-Addo basket of votes. And they'll be splitting those votes up. And those votes will be firm to him. So clearly, Nana will win. I mean, if they have the party's interest at heart, that they want to win power, and they recognize the fact that Nana cannot win, why don't they, for example, decide to stand behind one person? But if you are a floating delegate, you don't support any of the five, and you see that the four of them cannot decide on one, might as well vote for Nana, because they, the four of them, cannot be interested in, if they feel so strongly that Nana cannot win the 2016 elections, why don't they decide on one person and everybody wants to contest Nana? You only have him win.
Ben Nelson is a pollster and managing editor of the Daily Dispatch, and away from the MPP Special Delegates Conference, the Executive Director of the Institute for Democratic Governance, IDEC, Dr. Emmanuel Akwete, has entreated political parties to formulate realistic and development-oriented manifestos that would address challenges and better the lots of Ghanaians. He said political parties have over the years made unrealistic and ad hoc manifestos without any well-defined roadmap for the implementation, with a view of drawing the electorate to vote for them during national elections. Dr. Akwete made a statement during a presentation on the proposed amendment of the 1992 Constitution and the urgency for multi-party governance reforms at the Stakeholders Forum in Takoradi. We bring you the details.
The executive director of IDEC, Dr. Akwete, said political parties have become more election machines without power to attach her to policies or programs that would effectively address development challenges in the country. In view of this, the IDEC has made a number of proposals to deal with the challenges, including a mandatory formulation and publication of political parties' manifesto that would be translated into media-type development policies and programs as basis for campaigning and educating the public. IDEC proposes that the state should establish a multi-party commission and democracy fund to support political parties to execute their manifestos and monitor how political parties would implement their policies in order to set as basis for electing a particular party to govern the country. Dr. Akwete believes this will compel the parties to become more policy and development oriented agents so as to add over concentration on election campaigns and create space for discussing and thinking through issues that would fast track national development and reduce poverty. He proposed the strengthening of state institutions such as the police service, Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice, National Development Planning Commission and the Electoral Commission, and to make them more professional and impartial to fight corruption and protect them from party control. A senior research fellow of IDEC and former head of Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Kwesi Jonah, said the Constitution Review Commission was sought to solicit inputs from the public towards a review of the 1992 Constitution in order to address gaps and weaknesses that exist in it. He said although the CRC has completed and presented its report to government, there is a need for more time to deliberate and take fresh suggestions because the 97 provisions passed down for amendment would not comprehensively address the operational and the natural challenges the country is facing.
That was the news desk report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Nana Akufo-Addo calls for peace in MPP as it rallies towards election 2016. IDEC charges political parties to formulate realistic manifestos to address country's challenges. Teacher absenteeism in Ghana described as highest in sub-region. Governor pledges commitment to improving infrastructural projects in Tema. AU expresses worry over military coup in Lesotho as South Africa asks troops to return to barracks and respect the constitution, and NATO to set up 5 new bases in Eastern Europe. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news continues. The deputy minister in charge of secondary education, Alex Chow, himself, Ghana tops the list of countries in the sub-region with teacher absenteeism. He said although the percentage has reduced from 37% to 11%, it is still a national phenomenon. Mr. Chow said the state of affairs is a contributory factor to the failure of students in examinations. He cautioned teachers to be mindful of the fact that whether their salary is high or not, they receive it monthly, therefore they must work for its worth. He was speaking on our current affairs program, Talking Point.
The impromptu visit of the Deputy Regional Minister, Abu Kantan Bata, took him to some basic and junior high schools in the Sisala West, Juapa, and the Fiamma Bisie Isa district. The occasion was in response to the declaration of zero tolerance to teacher absenteeism by the Ministry of Education. During the time of visit, two teachers of the Fien Primary School in the Fiamma Bisie Isa district were not present without any official reason. Teacher of the junior high school had also absconded when the Deputy Regional Minister popped up at the school, Mr. Kassam.
The annual festival that is preceding.
If you are in a country whereby we have 27% absenteeism rate, the highest in the sub-region and among the highest in the world, we've been able to lower it to about 11%, but that is also not good. So it's always not about teachers' welfare. We must be mindful of the fact that whether the salary is big or small, every month teachers are paid. And they are supposed to do what is expected of them. If you have 27 absenteeism rate in the country, that is also not acceptable. So we are calling everybody to come out to help. It's not only the government. Government will come, government will go. If teachers will not teach, we will still have this kind of result, which is unacceptable. We also, children must also take responsibility, and then the students themselves must also take the responsibility, because we have students who are always on WhatsApp 18 hours, 16 hours a day. And not some of these subjects, mathematics, science, need time. They need time. you need to sit on a question for more than an hour. I need to not go and solve problems and be on WhatsApp all day long. So it's a big problem. And I just want to say that we are mindful of the problem and we are tackling the problem headlong.
Deputy Minister of Education and Charge of Secondary Education, Alex Chene, a lecturer at the Central University College, Benjamin Ochiankra, said it is about time students and teachers were consulted during formulation of policies and school curricula. He believes this will help improve on education acquisition, and we sincerely apologize for the earlier mix-up.
Government has reiterated the need for people in the three regions of the north to coexist peacefully and strives to provide critical infrastructure for the area. The Minister of Roads and Highways, Alhaji Inusa Fuseni, who said this at the annual Damba Festival of the Gondoland community in Accra, said government is not oblivious of the huge infrastructural gap in the area. He said another road project had been executed. The minister mentioned the solar dam on Gofufusu Road, which is about 80% complete, Bindula Salaga Road, among others, are some of the projects.
On the need to strive for peace, which is a prerequisite for the development of our community. And I thank you all for helping in maintaining peace in Benjela, especially our chiefs, opinion leaders, and all the youth leaders. With the efforts that government is making to roll out critical infrastructure programs to boost confidence in investors and harness the abundant natural resources available on Benjela. Minerals, gold, and limestone. The infrastructural development of the Gondoland would, I believe, result in the total migration of the Ghanaian economy. We are all aware of the nature of our roads in the past. Government has begun to roll out a comprehensive program for the development and improvement of the trunk road network, the feeder road network, and the critical urban roads in some major cities in Gondola. Critical bridges and culverts have also been earmarked for rehabilitation or construction.
Minister of Roads and Highways, Alhaji Inusa Fuseni. The chairman of the Greater Accra Regional Branch of the Gondoland Youth Association, Alvik Alhassan Mahama, explained the rationale for organizing the Durba and called on government to provide social and economic infrastructure in the area to curb the rural urban drift.
The Damba Durba Festival is organized annually to enable us to foster peace and unity amongst our neighbors and the northern ethnic groups in Accra. We also expose our culture to the outside world by organizing this Damba Festival. For developmental projects, we are calling on the government to help open up our road in the north to enable investors to come into the northern region or the Gondoland and invest. We lack a lot of schools in the northern region and we are asking them to build more schools, improve education. The rural electrification project should be intensified. The association has been able to constitute itself into groups that will go on sensitization visits to the Gondoland. We visit some of the secondary schools to give them some peer education. We also educate them on their career lines.
Chairman of the Greater Accra Regional Branch of the Gondoland Youth Association, Isaac Alhassan Mahana.
Vice President Kofi Musa-Alpha has appealed to Ghanaians to try as much as possible to reduce human-to-human contact, especially visitors in the face of the outbreak of Ebola in the South region. Describing the phenomenon as a clash of culture and science, he urged Ghanaians to observe all the ongoing educational programs to protect themselves. Vice President Musa-Alpha made the call while driving a link in the foundation store for the Siokwa Methodist Church in the Ebola Alpha region. Second year has filed this report.
The Asiokwa Methodist Church, located in the Wachi West district of the Bunahafu region, is being put up by a former presiding bishop of the Methodist Church, Miss Reverend Dr. Robert Abwajimensa, who is also an indigene of the town. An appeal for funds and building materials realized thousands of cedars and more than 200 bags of cement. Vice President Emisa Arthur asked Ghanaians to be cautious in welcoming people from the affected West African nations.
Ebola Papa, I won't tell you, Mama. I did a chair down at the Nyamia. In chair in some of you, I hope about the Johnson. Now, Nadia, no, I hope who are here, Ophi Airport, which is Chiang for the Sunday woman, the Wono Abba, Senegal, same thing, students who travel outside. So, we have a culture of greeting visitors, so respect to them. Now, they are home by so many Amin Samba. And just the visitor who has come, who may come from, who is infected, on another brain, in this our show. If you get info, custom Nikos and open 20 aircraft. We still be a home from this virus from a job. In the name, yeah, Robin Ma, virus, no, if you want to. I'm saying if you get one year, yeah, Obia and Pay, the Pay and your teacher, no be a rare, wouldn't name no good channel, not watching, yeah, yeah, no, now they are from out before. Nigeria, what happened? Everyone's dinner or the poor one. Which are down for no demand, or maybe we will, and I don't know that, and your training back. In the please, as we go along, let's protect ourselves, let's make God's will manifest by reducing the contact, especially with people who come from outside our communities, so that we can limit the effects of the danger.
Ms. Reverend Abajimens has stressed the need to regularly use Ghanaian expertise in the execution of the projects.
We have young people who can do this. Every small thing that go out. What do we do with God has given us? And David used the people who were. Of course, David used people from outside. Thank God for that. They used some of the things Timba needed to go from outside Israel. The most people who had the sword and sword were also in Canaan. So we ask you, may you serve with what God has given us. Then we stretch our hands for those who are
asking. The Kwame Methodist Church building is expected to be completed and inaugurated next year. Vice President Elisa Afa earlier paid courtesy calls on the chiefs and elders at Chua and Mefiokwa.
Since Elia found that report,
Deputy Metropolitan Chief Executive Isaac Ashai Odanton says government is committed to improving the infrastructure situation in the Tema Metropolis and the rest of the country. He stated that the road networks, trading, health and educational infrastructure in the Tema Metropolis are receiving serious attention, and by the end of the year, major infrastructure challenges in the area will be addressed. He was addressing the congregants of the Upper Room Assembly at the church's annual Amazing Grace Thanksgiving Festival in Tema. He mentioned the Klagonda Shibi, Sakumeno, Ajekujo, and Temanyotan routes, the Mexico and the Unku schools infrastructure are some of the projects ongoing in the metropolis. Dominic Lodge was there, and as far as report from Tema. The annual festival, which is preceded by 13 days fasting and prayer, is organized to thank God for his favor upon our church and our country. Addressing the congregation, Mr. Dalton said the assembly is adhering to the National Land Use Policy and will be constructing vertical school buildings that will have all auxiliary facilities, including TIPS compounds. He said about 20 new police posts will also be put up in the metropolis, and 5 will be done by the end of the year to beef up security to deter the crime situation in the industrial city. The MCE asked Ghanaians to claim their blessings as a people and stop preaching messages of despair as serious development is taking place throughout the country. The General Overseer of the Upper Royal Assembly, Bishop Beatrice Jaidu Hebido, asked Ghanaians to observe personal hygiene, clean their surroundings, and endeavor to refrain from eating from unhygienic eateries. She asked mothers to make time to cook for their children to take to school to avoid eating food from insanitary places which to contract in cholera. She also repeated Ghanaians to assist government in its efforts to prevent the Ebola disease from coming into the country. Bishop Jaidu Hebido pleaded with all to observe the Ebola prevention directives to ensure that the deadly disease does not surface in the country. On the economic challenges, she noted that the nation has suffered worse situations in the past, saying the hardship is temporal, and called for support for the managers of the economy to turn things around for the better. That report was filed by Dominic Lodge.
In finance, the African Union in a move is warned against any unconstitutional change of government in Lesotho. The ANU warning comes after military forces staged a military coup over the weekend chairperson of the AU Corruption, Kusavala Baramizua, says she is following the deep cuts here. They are doing development in the kingdom of Lesotho and the deteriorating political situation in that country. The chairperson urged various parties in Lesotho to resolve their political differences through peaceful means and a broader framework of the country's constitution.
Meanwhile, the South African government has urged the Lesotho Defense Force to return to the barracks and allow the democratically elected government of the kingdom to carry on with its constitutional mandate. It says the Lesotho Defense Force took over the radio and television stations, resulting in a total blackout of broadcasting. The army has also taken over several police stations, including the police headquarters. Over the weekend, the Lesotho military raided the house of Prime Minister Tom Kubani and see the police headquarters and the Makboti police station in the capital Maseru in a possible coup attempt. The Lesotho military refused to acknowledge that it was a coup, claiming it took that action after receiving intelligence that police officers intended to pass arms and ammunition to the Barons or the Lesotho convention called Under the Tree.
12 people, including three security officers and three civilians, were killed in yesterday's Mogadishu prison attack. Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the attack, while a prisoner in another camp, Al-Shabaab Nabat, thought to have been to be held. Civilian effects fighters were also killed. Witnesses said that bodies of civilian developments laid strewn near the prison, while government forces took up positions in and around the area.
Israel's military has shot down a drone that flew into its controlled airspace near a border crossing between the Golan Heights and Syria. Report says the Israeli Defense Forces intercepted a drone that breached Israeli airspace from Syria. Fighting in the Syrian civil war has occasionally spilled over into Israeli-controlled areas of the Golan Heights, which was captured from Syria during the 1967 Middle East War. Earlier this week, the IDF hit Syrian targets as an Israeli officer in the Golan Heights was injured by a power stray fire from Syria.
Leading American senators
have called for the U.S. to send weapons to help Ukraine fight what they say is a Russian invasion. Head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Robert Menendez, said Russia's President Vladimir Putin must face a cost for his aggression. Senator John McCain describes Russia's incursion as an invasion and announced the Putin called for talks to discuss the matter of statehood for eastern Ukraine. According to Senator McCain, Putin wants to restore the Russian Empire.
NATO plans to set up 5 additional military bases in Eastern Europe and Germany. 4,000 military will be deployed at the bases as part of rapid response units. The move is aimed at ensuring protection of the alliance's member states from the proposed threat posed by Russia, especially as NATO considers Russian policy on Ukraine a violation of its sovereignty. Earlier this week, NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen stated the alliance will for the first time deploy forces at its non-Eastern European bases. Russia said that the expansion of NATO's military presence in the region would threaten Euro-Atlantic stability and promised respond to the alliance's actions in order to defend its national security.
The 2020 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has entreated all party members to smooth the peace pipe and forge ahead of unity as it bases itself for the 2016 election. Nana's score comes after his last victory at the NPP Super Delegates Conference yesterday. And the Institute for Democratic Government, IDEC, has charged political parties to formulate realistic manifestos and to address the country's challenges. According to the executive director of Lesity, Dr. Emmanuel Makuti, political parties have over a year's failed to come out with feasible manifestos as they lack clear-cut roadmaps. The news was presented by Abraham Dunko
and Rosemary Gacy in Accra.
95.